good evening, and welcome to Blindspot. Each week, Blindspot presents a unique radio show that explores the possibilities of the medium. For more information about the programming and the people who work on the show each week, please visit our website. It's stopgostop.com/blindspot. There you'll find pictures, MP3s of past shows, as well as information about future shows. Tonight on the program, we were going to present counter-programming. It was going to be myself, I'm Eric, talking about culture while our friend Peter Rosenblum comes in and plays his violin. Unfortunately, there's been a catastrophe. We've had an obstruction. I'm therefore going to one of the lesser-known blind spot bylaws. I'm calling Plan B.
No.
Not Plan B.
Yes. Plan B. In the studio with me tonight, John Wanzel.
Hey.
Moving around, furiously looking up things on the internet, and Philip Von Zweck working the board.
Hi, nice to be here with you.
The thing with Plan B, if you can't hear that, folks, that's John pushing his keyboard keys. What Plan B is? Plan B is a series of rules and regulations that one must follow strictly when, if on Friday, moving into the Saturday show, your concept completely collapses. At about 4 o'clock, I found out, this was on Friday, that Peter's cat was sick, quite sick, and he would be unable to come to the studio. So that's when I first started moving towards calling Plan B. What the first thing that one must do with Plan B is there must be a complete producer confession of the obstruction. It is twofold. First off, for me personally, I put too many eggs in one basket. I should have never organized a show where it was contingent on one person other than myself without any real form of backup, so should they have to bow out, I am left holding the proverbial Plan B. The second tenet of Plan B is that your obstruction is your show. So the main obstruction is that Peter's cat has kidney disease, and consequently, we'll be checking in with Peter a little later. We've got John trying to look up some details about care of cats with kidney disease on the internet. We'll be taking calls. Philip, what's the number if somebody wants to call?
773-508-8077. Keep them relevant to the subject at hand, please.
Oh, of course. So, it's important with Plan B. You will notice that the music underneath me right now is cat related. Everything that we will choose will somehow have something to do with the obstruction at hand. If we were to find a song that was about kidney disease and cats, believe you me, we would be playing it. So,
I just want to say that in no way are we. I mean, there's a lot of sympathy and empathy going out to Peter and Matilda.
And Matilda, we completely understand. What we're trying to do is we're trying to not pull the wool over anyone's eyes. We're trying to
carry on.
We're trying to get her done, if you will. We're trying to run headlong into the obstruction and take those lemons and make an omelet.
That's a mixed metaphor.
Okay. Let's see if that's a tenet of Plan B. It's not. One of the other tenets of Plan B is
we must pencil that in.
We must try and aid or resolve the obstruction. John's working on that now. We'll check in with him a little later. We have to make sure that we plug next week's show more than just at the beginning or the end. Since I don't exactly know what next week's show is.
Here, John, why don't you talk about next week's show? Since you're looking up what next week's show is, why don't you...
Okay, we'll do that more towards the middle of the show.
It's got something to do with...
Valentine's?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll
come back to that. We'll be plugging it multiple times throughout the program, I think. I'm sorry, one of the tenets of the obstruction is not that you have a co-host.
No,
but
it's...
written on the form is make Philip talk.
It's make Philip talk on air. It's not that he's not actually co-hosting. Also, less is more is written here. You see, these were drawn up by the ancient elders of Blindspot, and we've never seen them before tonight. Okay, I don't know that I could even make that work.
It was, there's a sealed envelope at
yes.
the station.
Yes.
And the phone call comes, and they say, what's the password? And if they give you the right password, in this case, hatefulness.
Yes, and then...
You break the seal.
Well, first off...
You shatter the glass.
And then you take out the key, which I have a key, and Philip has a key. We simultaneously put them in the key slots, turn like a nuclear weapon, and then sliding out, like... out of a Coke machine comes the sealed folder.
Join us next week, February 12th, when Blindspot takes a look at our innermost thoughts regarding all that is love, including but not limited to falling in and out of, as recorded in our very own diaries. Those of our diaries, as well as those that we are stealing. A Valentine celebration unlike any others. Listeners will ponder the possibility of Cupid and the way he flings his arrows. Join us next week for Valentine's Day Massacre, Dear Diary.
You're possibly more dyslexic than I am.
Yes.
So one of the other things that we're going to do tonight is let's play a song. Let's play my favorite cat related song. This is Lucifer Sam by Pink Floyd. Enjoy.
Cyan cat, always sitting by your side, always by your side. That cat's something I can't explain. He's the right side, oh no. That cat's something I can't explain. rustling, sifting sand. Hiding around on the ground, he'll be found when you're around. That gets something I can't explain.
Okay. Outstanding. You know, it's...
We're almost a quarter of a way through the program now.
We are. Plan
Maybe
B.
Maybe we should mention what's coming up next week.
Oh, next week, it's the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Journals. Join Blindspot as we share our innermost thoughts regarding all that is love, including but not limited to falling in and out of it, as recorded in our very own diaries and those of others that we're stealing. A Valentine's Day celebration unlike any others, listeners will ponder and possibly understand why Cupid uses arrows. St. Valentine's Day Massacre, Dear Diary. That's next week on The Big Show. You know, when putting together, you know, trying to come up with cat songs, I was really struck by how many dog songs there were, and how few cat songs. So, if you'd like to send out solidarity towards Peter's cat, you can give us a call here. Or if you'd like to suggest a cat song, you can do that as well. The number is... can you help me out, Philip?
It's right up there on the phone.
508.
773-508-8077.
Okay. Speaking of phones, why don't we try to call Peter, check in with Matilda, see how she's doing, how Peter's holding up.
Oh, really? Like now?
Do you want me to tell him about what's on next week again?
No. Let's see. I got to press the mono button on that mic and this mic.
Yes.
And then I dial the number, and then I turn this on. But I got to pull up, which one? Oh, this one here that says telephone.
Okay, while Philip's trying to get Peter on the line, John, what are you playing for us?
Well, right now, we have a very small section of a Cat Stevens song entitled... It's actually two. One is Sad Lisa, and the other is... The Wind, and then it goes off my screen. Backed up by two cats meowing and one hissing.
Ah.
It's a very exciting remix of a Cat Stevens song.
Okay. I think
now Philip is doing the pre-call screening for Peter, who is on the phone, and here he comes right now. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Peter.
Peter.
Yes, hello.
How are you? How are you holding up? How's Matilda?
Well, she's still in the closet. I gave her some of her. IV fluids, and she seemed okay at first, but then she kind of freaked out because she got a little wet, and so she's hiding. So she has some kidney problems.
And could you tell us what the vet told you how to handle these kidney problems?
I want to give her the IV fluids. And I give her some kind of bonder. I don't know what that is. Some vitamins. So these are like in droppers.
Okay.
And then some basically an acid tablets, because with the kidney problems they get stomach upset. So you give them just little broken up and acid tablets. But basically, it's, you know, it's just like an ongoing thing because they're just not functioning. you know, very well. They're at like, you know, 20% their normal capacity.
Wow.
So it's nothing that really gets any better.
Right.
But you just kind of hope that, you know, they can live with it. And then I have this special food that they gave me. They give me a bunch of different kinds to try out. And she didn't seem to like the ones that I gave her.
Are those all low-protein foods?
Yeah, I think that's it. The thing is low-protein. And she really didn't like them. And I tried, like, five different ones. Then I just gave her the regular stuff, and she did eat that. And she did drink quite a bit of water.
But the IV actually went pretty well until you took it out, right? And then she got wet, and that's what she's freaked out about, was having gotten wet.
Yeah, she kind of... Yeah, I was just starting to take it out, and she kind of turned her head around. Well, the thing was, is she sort of was... She seemed totally fine, and then I was getting towards the end of, you know... It was just like 7 minutes or something. And then she, like, turned around, and it seemed like, oh, she's gonna... So, you know, take off, and I didn't want her to, you know, she could injure herself,
mm-hmm.
you know, so you want to take the needle out, but so I didn't get a chance to turn it off, so then it's kind of sprayed, you know, and she kind of freaked out, like, oh no, I've got this wet stuff on my back, you know, so I don't think it bothers them all, but there's just kind of, you know, this cold stuff, you know, it's just kind of at room temperature, but it feels very cold to them.
And because their body temperatures, as I understand it, are actually higher than ours. Like, they're actually above 100 degrees, regularly.
Yeah, I think they are. So it kind of feels cold and stuff.
But the actual medication is actually going pretty well, right? It was just the sort of slip-up with afterwards.
Well, I gave her... Yeah, I gave her her first thing last night, and then I gave her some more this morning. But, I'm due to give her some tonight, and unless she comes out of hiding, I can't really give her any. And I don't want to, you know, have her come out of the closet and right away to jump on her, you know, and stuff on her throat. So I want to just kind of give her a chance to come out on her own and relax and stuff. And I don't really think I want to give her any more stuff tonight.
Peter, how long have you and Matilda been living together?
I just picked her up at the beginning of November from the Anti-Cruelty Society.
And is she an old cat?
No, she's pretty young, and that's why it's very unusual. Generally, it doesn't happen until they're, you know, over 10, 15 or something. And they think she's only 5, but we don't know how old she is because the previous owner just kind of just told them that she was about 5. So I don't know, but she seems pretty young. I mean, she's generally pretty energetic and likes to play a lot and, you know, pretty active, likes to run around at night.
What kind of cat is she? Is she a tabby cat or...?
Yeah, she's a brown tabby. It's a white chin.
Do you want to give maybe some of the symptoms that she was exhibiting? Because I know that you took her in because you actually thought she had a tooth problem. And if maybe so other cat owners could get an idea of things to look for.
Well, she wasn't eating very much. And the main thing is they just drink a lot of water. And, of course, then they... you know, have to go to the bathroom a lot because they're drinking so much. So it's just basically, you know, like the kidneys aren't functioning properly. And so they want to get rid of these, you know, the body wants to get rid of these contaminants and whatever things. And the kidneys aren't doing it properly. So the body tries to compensate and they drink a lot of water. But the water just kind of goes right through them. It doesn't really clean out the impurities and things. So you have to give them these fluids and vitamins and things. And she was in the hospital for 4 days, and they had her on fluids, and you know, the whole time they have like an IV in her. And she didn't like that too much, but she seemed okay.
But once you guys get this down, once you sort of get, I mean, because I know that she just came home from the animal hospital this weekend. I mean, once you guys sort of get into a set pattern, like, there's no reason why she can't live a happy, healthy life for, you know, years to come, right?
No, she can. And so it just depends on, you know, but it's up to her, you know. If she doesn't like any of this stuff, then it's kind of difficult. But, yeah, they should be able to, you know, normally people give them the stuff and they just deal with it. So, you know, I'm just going to have to see, you know. I'm going to talk with her about tomorrow. Normally, I mean, I don't know, I have, like, the handout they gave me. And, you know, it says, like, oh, well, they can live for months or years or whatever. So you just don't know. But clearly the kidneys are not, you know, functioning properly. It's not like they're getting worse. They're just not doing what they should be doing.
Peter, let me ask you a question about Matilda. One of the things that interests me in about, you know, people's cats is, how did you come up with the name Matilda?
Oh, well, you know, her name that the previous owner gave her was Baby, which I thought was horrible. It sounded like,
that is bad.
You know, like an old crazy cat woman would name her cats, you know.
Right. Nobody puts Baby in the cat box.
Yeah, you know. So, it was a name I liked. It was a Roald Dahl, you know, kid's novel where a girl's named Matilda. And then a character in a movie I like a lot, The Professional, with Jean Reno and Gary Oldman. And he's this kind of, you know, old mafia hired guy, but neighborhood girl who lives next door. Her family gets killed by the evil NEA guy, Gary Oldman. And so he kind of adopts her reluctantly, you know, but then they end up becoming very good friends.
Is that a remake of a French film? About the hitman?
I thought so.
Okay.
No, that's The Professional. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, The Professional, it's an American film with starring Jean Reno and Gary Oldman. Oh. But I think it probably is a remake. I'm not sure. So I like that name, and it's a nice name, and it's not like, you know, patronizing and stuff. And then, you know, like when I go into the cat hospital, because I've been there quite a bit lately, and I hear, like, the worst names, you know, like this. I guess it's like the, you know, maybe a lot of cat owners are kind of crazy, you know, maybe, I don't know. But, you know, like one woman named her cat Booger.
Booger?
And someone named her cat Titmouse.
I wonder if Booger could be a reference to Curtis Booger Armstrong.
I'm not sure. I don't know.
From Revenge of the Nerds?
Yeah,
I
didn't
saw that movie. I just thought it'd be too depressing. So I thought real nerds were depressing enough. I didn't want to really go to see a movie of.
No nerds were hurt or harmed in the making of the Revenge of the Nerds pictures, except for 4, which went straight to video.
Well,
4 nerds went straight to video, or Revenge of the Nerds 4.
Yeah, so I'm going to talk about cats. I think. You know, Peter, I think it's interesting that that Matilda comes from a reference to a movie, because I think all of the really good cat names that at least I've heard are ultimately references.
Like, yeah.
My wife and I's cat's named Coupon, which is a reference to a Mr. Show sketch where they make Coupon the movie. I love the Coupon, but nobody's seeing the movie. Coupon.
I never knew that was a reference.
And what's yours?
Mucho Moss.
Which is from?
The Crying of Lot 49 by Thomas Pynchon?
One of those big boy books.
Oh, see, I thought that was like a reference to that fighter. It said, like, no mas, no mas. And so you were kind of being ironic and saying mucho mas.
No, I don't even know what you're talking about here.
Roberto Duran
was
fighting Sugar Ray Leonard for the middleweight championship. And he couldn't make it into, like, the beginning of the fifth round or something, and he said, no mas, no mas. So it's like a famous sports quote.
Oh.
Eric should know that.
If it happened on a baseball diamond, I might have, but...
Okay, well, this is a boxing
thing. Yeah, I don't know.
So it was very famous for a while, and, like, in the 80s, Johnny Carson joked about it for, like, a month. It was, like, a topic of his monologues for, like, a month. Because everyone accused Duran of throwing the fight or something. You know, they always do that when, like, a guy, you know, is involved in a big sports fight and then he can't come out for the fourth or fifth round or something. They all, like, oh, he's throwing it, you know.
Yeah.
Because boxing's been so corrupt for so long.
Yeah.
You know, most of the time.
Even I know that. He's in fact named after a minor character and... a former radio DJ and used car salesman.
So, Peter, do you have any upcoming blind spot shows in the hopper? Something you're working on, maybe?
I was thinking of doing a kids show, which would be called Uncle Blinky's Fun Time Radio Hour.
Have you seen Shakes the Clown?
No.
It's the Citizen Kane of alcoholic clown movies.
That it is.
That would sound like Krusty the Clown, though.
But it's pre-Krusty the Clown, and it stars Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah,
and Florence Henderson.
And the villain is...
Yes, Mrs. Brady?
Yes.
Kinda. The villain is actually named Binky, and he does... a kid's happy time fun hour. He gets the television show, and then he kind of goes, well, I don't want to ruin it for you, but cocaine's involved.
So then I shouldn't do this radio show because it would just be ripping off this bad movie?
No.
It's not a bad movie.
No, there's...
Well, he's ripping off a good movie.
Well, yeah, what about Citizen Kane of alcoholic clown movies? Don't you understand?
So I won't do that.
No, you should. Bringing up the title.
We'll talk about it online.
No, and then everyone will be thinking about that clown movie.
Peter, this show has got me thinking that sometime down the road we need to do blind spot stories or something. Producers telling stories of putting stuff together.
Yeah.
The story that is reminiscent for me is... doing Sisyphus versus Prometheus with Philip as he has to run down the hall to yell at Tom Bailey because he just doesn't get the concept and has to do it like 10 times.
Well, that would be reference to a show that didn't quite work. But I thought it was a good idea.
Yeah, Peter's looking at me, Philip's looking at me now like, them is fighting words.
No, it did work. It was a good show.
There were problems with that show.
No, I thought it was a good show.
No, there were problems with it. It was brilliant in Inception, and Eric was masterful. As were you, Peter.
I don't remember.
What did I do for
you,
that?
You were playing music.
Oh, that was
you were playing loops or something.
Was that the cello and euphonium show?
Yeah.
All right, Peter.
You were brilliant, Peter, and Eric was brilliant.
All right. Peter, is there anything else you can tell us about Matilda?
Has she come out of the closet yet?
No, she's still in there. She's probably relieving herself on my dirty laundry.
Yeah, well, I would.
At least it's dirty.
If she comes out, will you give us a call and let us know?
Yes.
Yes, I will.
All right, well, best wishes to you and Matilda.
Thank you.
And
I hope you feel better, Matilda.
Thanks.
All right. Have a good night, Peter.
Thank you, Peter.
Good night.
All right. Well, Peter seems to be in better spirits by the by the end of that conversation. One of the other major tenets of Plan B is that we try to aid or resolve whatever the obstruction is. So, John, you've been on the internet.
Yes.
Have you come up with any? What do you got for us?
Well, there's many different sites about feline kidney failure, as well as ways to hope to aid them. There doesn't seem to be any like magic cure, but they do suggest to make sure that you keep the cat hydrated, and to make sure that because the kidney, of course, helps eliminate waste products that the body does from urine, and the kidney kind of helps with all that. And with the kidney failure or kidney problems, you start to have more like bad things in the body. So you want to make sure that the cat stays hydrated, make sure that there's the right electrolyte levels, which is calcium, phosphate, potassium, sodium, and things within the cat. And you also want to make sure that it's on a low-protein diet. And some of the sites that I've looked at also suggest to move more towards an all-natural diet, or kind of a home-prepared meals, including cooked and raw chicken or turkey meats,
so,
to try to keep out the artificial foods.
So I have a question. And
Because that includes the salt levels as well.
Okay, that's interesting. Why a low-protein diet?
Because one of the things that... Yeah, the protein is a lot harder to digest. It would also increase the salt and other items that are in the cat's diet that then would cause the kidney to work harder. And so, like, Peter was trying to get this low-protein types of diet to get Matilda to eat that, and I believe that is linked to that.
So if anybody out there would like to send a shout-out, words of encouragement to Matilda, or
a veterinarian,
has a cat and would like to share some of their own personal experience, you can give us a call at 773-508-8077. What else have you? Find anything else?
Well, see, actually, it's in the breakdown of the protein where certain chemicals are formed, which the kidney helps in digests and helps to, aid to get out of the body. The other thing is that, and this is all to reduce the amount of waste materials that the system must filter out through the kidneys. The low salt and low phosphorus can help control the electrolyte imbalance that are common with CRF or
kidney disease.
Kidney retinal failure. Actually, cat renal failure.
Because retina's eyes, buddy.
That's very true. Many cats actually refuse to eat, and you just have to make sure you don't starve the cat. If the cat doesn't want to eat, it won't. Remember, it's most important for them to keep food intake and body weight. When introducing a low-protein diet, start at a gradual and steadily increase the new food into the old food, decreasing the old food. So you might do a quarter old or three quarters old food, a quarter new food. And this is something that might actually help Peter to get Matilda eat.
So you don't want to shock Matilda and be like the old commercial that says, I've replaced the normal high-protein food with low-protein food. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, it also might take this procedure of replacing the food might take anywhere from a week to a month, depending on how finicky your cat is. If your cat doesn't like the dry version of the new diet, try the canned and vice versa, to try to get the cat to like start to take in the new food.
All right, John, we'll check back in with you and your magical surfing of the internets a little later. See what else you got. Right now, I'd like to take a second and talk a little bit more about Plan B before we get on to another song. See, one of the real important tenets with Plan B is you must remind everyone, mainly you, our listening audience, what the tenets of Plan B are. One of the other ones that I haven't really talked about much is that order doesn't have to matter. So it's not like these rules and regulations have to happen A, B, C, and D. There are some more mild things, kind of just put in to always have people talking about something, like make Philip talk on air.
Yo.
The less is more comments.
Always.
Someone who has not been on Blind Spot in a very long while must be mentioned.
Which you got in with Tom Bailey.
Thank you.
I noticed.
We must also...
Do they have to be dissed? Or just mentioned?
They don't have to be dissed.
Okay.
But...
Now, are you dissing him just because he lives in Japan now?
Yeah, frankly, from how he handled that show, if he was standing next to me, I pretty much would have said the same thing. I don't know. Do you want me on a, you know, a...
Carry on.
Yeah, okay. Philip, is it your turn to plug next week?
Yeah, next week it's this show called Valentine's Day Massacre.
Dear Diary.
And people are going to be reading stuff from real diaries and fake diaries and stolen diaries, and it's going to crush your heart.
Okay.
Like Bruce Lee's fist.
Mm, sure that's not Chuck Norris?
Oh, Bruce Lee would just rip it out and show it to you while still beating, right?
No, that's Chuck Norris. Okay. Philip, yeah, I see you've got a song queued up. What do you have for us?
Oh, you'll hear it.
Pussycat, I've got flowers and lots of hours to spend with you. So go and powder your cute little pussycat nose. Pussycat, pussycat, I love you. Yes, I do. You and your pussycat nose. Pussycat, you're so thrilling, and I'm so willing to care for you. So go and make up your big little pussycat eyes. Pussycat, pussycat, I love you. Yes, I do. You and your pussycat eyes. What's new, pussycat? Pussycat, you're delicious, and if my wishes can all come true, I'll soon be kissing your sweet little pussycat lips. Pussycat, pussycat, I love you. Yes, I do. You and your pussycat lips. Whoa, whoa. You and your pussycat eyes. Whoa, whoa. You and your pussycat knows.
Outstanding. Out. Thank you, Philip. Out. Now, who was singing the vocal on that? I know that's off a Backrack record.
That was off Backrack Plays His Hits.
Okay.
Which leads me to believe that that was probably... Backrack singing it.
No, Backrack don't sing. Well, not...
Well, orchestra and chorus directed by Burt Backrack.
All right, number five.
There's
writing underneath it.
Yeah, it doesn't say who sings it.
I believe it says featuring...
Oh, Joel Gray.
Ah, yes.
Wow, Joel Gray. Oh,
the Joel Gray.
The Joel Gray from Dance for the Dark.
And Buffy and Alias.
Yeah.
And a little something called Cabaret, but I don't know anything about that. Well, Philip, why don't this show is kind of foreboding for you, if I'm not mistaken.
It is a little, yeah.
Why don't you tell me about Mucho?
Well, I think that Mucho Moss may be suffering from the same condition as Matilda is. I took Mucho into the vet a couple of weeks ago, and he's not eating as much as he used to. I mean, he's about 17, and he's been drinking a lot more water.
Which, how much is 17 in cat years?
It's actually like 85. Okay. It's actually not as high as... It's not as high as I thought. Because, you know, there's sort of that logarithmic relationship. So it's like 1 year, like from 0 to 1 is like 7 years. But then the years actually sort of slow down. Like they're not all equally age. I looked it up sometime. He's not 115 or whatever you would think, you know. And so he's got some of the sort of characteristics that Peter described. With Matilda, he's been drinking more water. What does it say? It doesn't even go.
No, it's
76 years. See, that's not... But see, then if you're 18, you're only 78 years. So, like, it slows down. I like that they put 30 as an option. I hope Mucho makes it to 30. So I took him in, and we're going to run some blood tests, and then the vet decided to run a urine test after taking a urine sample and said it was the wrong color. And then the vet didn't call me for a couple of days, which freaked me out a little bit. And so I called him back and didn't get him, but got the technician. And the technician said that he had to find somebody to explain the results, which wasn't a good sign. Sounds like...
The technician might not have been able to read.
Well, he managed to look up. He managed to find out that there were results. I don't know. And so the vet then called me back the next day and left a message on my voicemail saying that he needed to explain the results. Which is not a good sign either, because if there's no problem, they will leave you a message that says, "All clear, boss." So,
did they really say boss?
To me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. And so I haven't actually been able to get... I've been crazy busy working, and I haven't actually gotten to speak to the vet. But a lot of the characteristics that Peter describes, and CRF is one of the things that the vet mentioned, something that they wanted to test for when I was there, because some of and I just took Mucho in for a checkup because it had been, you know, a little while. So, I mean, actually, in many ways, Peter's story is very encouraging to me, because I know that, and I'm hoping to get the vet on the phone tomorrow, I know that there are actual practical things which can be done,
right?
You know, and that as much as I think Mucho wouldn't necessarily like having an IV, if it's time that he can spend sitting on my lap, he will tolerate it.
Well, and I mean, it's, you know, and the IV, we should explain what the IV really is, because it doesn't have a stand. It's not like
it may have a stand, I'm not sure, but you're not putting in much fluid, according to Peter. What I know is from Peter, actually, but you're basically putting in fluid with electrolytes, because the kidneys aren't producing and distributing the electrolytes needed by the body. So it's not exactly Gatorade, but it's like a saline solution.
Well, it's medical grade Gatorade.
Without the flavoring or the colors added. So I think Mucho's diet will probably have to change some, and he'll probably need to go on some medication. But I'm actually really, it's been good, actually. I'm not saying it's good that this has happened to Matilda, but getting this information from Peter and talking to him a lot has actually been very helpful. So,
would you consider Mucho much of a finicky eater?
Well, it's interesting, because Peter gave me some cat food, a different brand than what Mucho normally eats. And Mucho loved that. And Mucho loves, like, tuna. I normally feed him what I consider to be a reasonable quality cat food. And it used to be that he would, if I gave him a whole can, I give him half a can a day, but if I gave him a whole can, he would finish that.
Right.
Lately, I've been giving him half a can, which he doesn't actually finish. But when I gave him this sort of gourmet stuff that Peter passed along to me because Matilda didn't like it, he went crazy for it. So he might be a little bit of a finicky eater.
One of the things that I've always, one of the early bonding moments that I had with Coupon is that I'm not much of a food person. Mm-hmm. He won't eat treats. He won't eat soft food. In fact, he will very begrudgingly eat the chicken dry food, but it's the senior cat salmon flavor. He's all over it. Can't get enough of that stuff.
Well, and Mucho can, if I mix senior and non-senior dry food together, he prefers the non-senior dry food.
Right.
He definitely, like, he has his preferences. He doesn't like Swiss cheese, but he really likes provolone and cheddar. And his favorite is goat brie, actually.
Now,
he likes things with tomato sauce.
Coupon will drink milk, and then he will eat the senior cat.
See, I used to give Mucho milk, and then he got a little smelly, if you will. he'd be ripping them.
Ah.
But cheese doesn't seem to affect him that way, but he really likes goat cheese quite a bit. So he's a bit of a gourmet, I think.
So, John.
Yeah.
Approximately a year ago.
Yeah, a little bit over.
We did Cat Party.
Cats Live.
Okay, I like Cat Party. But, which actually predates Puppy Bowl.
Yes. In about, it was probably 2003, at one of the first meetings it was mentioned, and we talked about bringing several cats into the station.
And if I remember, mistakes were made.
Yes, there were many different problems or interesting things about that show.
Jake fed them catnip too early.
Yeah, we were about 15 or 20 minutes too early at the catnip.
So they slept.
So there was about seven or eight like good shtick in there, and then they pretty much went to sleep.
Well, before we go to our next tune, why don't we play three, four minutes of, as you like to say, Cats Live, as I like to say, Cat Party.
As the whole thing was my idea, it's Cat Party.
I don't know. Either way, I don't know if I have it queued up to the right space, but so I'll just...
Well, it'll be short if you don't. So that's three cats live in the studio, huh?
Yeah, the interesting thing was that we kind of lost our transportation and we didn't really feel like taking the bus on our way up here.
That and would
then,
be bad.
And then on the way back, one of the cats, and Jake, I apologize for not remembering which one, kind of started to have a little bit of an accident his lap.
I've heard this
in the
story.
Cage.
I think it was Melvin.
Yes, I believe it was Melvin in Jenny's car, but I don't think any of it got onto Jenny's seat, and I never really told her, so.
Well.
I guess that's...
Well, you might have told her now. Well, let's go to our next tune, which was picked out by my lovely wife, a little honky cat.
Redneck ways and
Eric.
Yes.
What is there? Have we met all of the obligations that grand wizards, the elders, if you will, of Blindspot have set for us with Plan B?
Well, they're Plan B protocols.
Because we need to please the elders.
We do. I did confess my failures as producer.
Maybe you can do that again.
I put too many eggs in one basket.
How many eggs was that?
One.
you clearly needed to divide that egg into multiple baskets.
Yeah, something like that. Well, I don't want to mix my metaphors making lemon omelets. I think that the obstruction has been our show. We have John's got a little bit more. Something he entitles "Prevention is Easy." We've tried the take.
Something
to take calls.
He entitled it, or something that the web entitled "Prevention is Easy," and John's just stealing.
The web actually calls it "What do you do if your cat has kidney problems?"
Carry on.
We've plugged next week's show.
Enough.
No, my understanding is it's this St. Valentine's Day Massacre, Dear Diary. I'm going to have to paraphrase, Jenny. I'm sorry, but we tell it in diary form. You'll be pondering why Cupid uses arrows. I got the Dear Diary part. I don't know.
All right.
We have reminded everybody about the Plan B tenets. One of the unwritten rules with Plan B is this.
How do you know it's unwritten? I mean, how do you know it's a rule if it's not written? If we just crack these things out of the safe.
Because.
After the
code
word.
The fact that they were there with the code word and the keys leads me to believe that they're there for the next producer whose show falls apart and wants to use Plan B. I encourage any of us to use Plan B. We've mentioned two people who haven't been on Blindspot in a very long time, Tom Bailey and Jake. Phillips talked on air. I think you'll all agree that less is more. The order doesn't really matter. All references to the failed concept have been vague, like it says.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever calls Plan B must add to Plan B after the fact, so I will be adding a new rule as it is
mixed metaphor,
hermetically sealed behind glass. John, what you got for me?
Well, if you think that your cat has kidney problems, or if you just want to prevent it in general, you should really make sure that the protein intake is moderate and limited to the highest quality sources. Also, you must restrict the amount of sodium that your cat intakes. Phosphate intake must also be restricted, and avoid foods with an inverse calcium to phosphate ratio. Provide professional fixed formula food with restricted high quality protein and minerals. Add crushed garlic to make up for the potassium loss that your cat is losing. And also supplement his diet with B vitamins, and always make sure that your cat has plenty of fresh water.
All right.
All right.
All right.
This is perhaps my favorite song of the night, as it's Matilda Mother by Pink Floyd. And I'd like to give one final shout out to Peter and Matilda. I hope you both are feeling better. Peter, we knew you were a little freaked out. So, you have been listening to Blindspot, Plan B. Plan B, for better or for worse, was produced by myself, Eric S. Humphrey, in the studio with me on the boards, Philip Von Zweck.
Yo.
Helping with research and ambient sounds, John Wanzel.
Thank you.
Somewhere with Matilda, Peter Rosenblum. Each week, Blindspot presents a unique radio show that explores the possibilities of the medium. For more information about the program and the people who work on the show each week, please visit our website at stopgostop.com/blindspot. There you'll find pictures, MP3s, as well as information about future shows. Tune in next week for Valentine's Day Massacre, Dear Diary. Join Blindspot as we share our innermost thoughts regarding all that is love, including but not limited to falling in and out of it, as recorded in our very own diaries, and those of others which we will be stealing. A Valentine's Day celebration unlike any other, listeners will ponder and possibly understand why Cupid uses arrows. Also, please join us on the 26th of February. Blindspot will be teaming up with the U.S. Postal Service for a program inspired by our beloved fans. Are you tired of Blindspot and all its yip-yap? Do you love Blindspot like it was your first girlfriend? Well, it's your chance to voice your opinion about the show, and we will respond to your suggestions and criticisms live on air. Send your love/hate mail to P.O. Box 667, Chicago, Illinois, by the 26th, or email blindspot@stopgostop.com. Thank you. This has been Blindspot. Thank you.